League. Brad Coles joining us this morning. First off, Brad, it's always good to talk to you, man. You been well?
Yeah, doing great. Good to hear from you and appreciate all you continue to do down there.
Well, we're trying our hardest, aren't we? And it's interesting because, you know, now with the Illinois Municipal League, this Moving Cities Forward legislative package that was released yesterday and looking over this, there's a certain level of redundancy. But, you know, I noticed this in one of the press releases that, you know, a lot of the problems that we've been facing now, well, we've been facing them for years. You know, when it gets to this, and it's interesting because when I looked at the press release, there was something that caught my mind, caught my attention. It's Moving Cities Forward, legislative reforms are crucial for maintaining fiscal solvency in municipalities across the state. That's the heart of it, Brad.
Yeah, and Tom, we've been talking about this for years, back when I was on the city council and mayor in Carbondale. I mean, you and I have been discussing the unfunded mandates that have been put on, the obligations that are passed down from the state to local governments, and the biggest issue, and we talked about how are we going to repair railroad grade crossings, how are we going to fix roads and bridges, and how are we going to put in infrastructure, water and sewer, and how are you going to pay for public safety, and then what about these pension payments? We've been talking about this for a long time, and the local leaders get it because they have to address it every day, and they have to balance their budget every year. They don't get the opportunity to put it off or wait. And so these issues, some of them we have been talking about for quite a while. Mayors, city council members, they're out there trying to get this done every day.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I can remember years ago talking to Carterville Mayor Ron Mitchell and about, you know, this new state law about the reflective coating that has to be on the street signs. Do they have any idea how much that costs us? I mean, there's been this barrage, and of course the monumental iceberg of fiscal solvency is our pensions.
Right.
I mean, that is literally, and, you know, I don't know that we can steer our Titanic ship of state away from that iceberg because we're in an iceberg field. There's a lot of different pensions and a lot of different problems. You wonder where you begin. But we've come to the point now, Brad, and I know this may be a bit in the line of hyperbole, so I hope you'll forgive me, but we've come to the point in the state of Illinois where our partner, government, has become a parasite that threatens to kill the host.
Well, it's not a good situation, that's for sure. And the pension costs at the local level continue to rise. Some of these benefit sweeteners that are imposed by the General Assembly, there haven't been any in the last year or so, but it's always being discussed. These costs that are passed down to municipalities. And one of the issues that we want to talk about in our Moving Cities Forward agenda is the consolidation of these funds. There are 663 downstate public safety pension funds. That means there's 663 different fund managers and administrative costs, and these could all be consolidated into one fund, just like the municipal retirement fund for all of the other municipal employees. Put them into one fund. A community has their own set account within that fund, but the dollars can be invested more wisely. They can see a greater return, and the costs can be reduced or eliminated in many cases.
Brad,
That's a common sense example.
Brad, these costs that you're talking about, these fees, as I do more and more research on these, appallingly high fees with appallingly low returns.
Well, yeah, and if you have, say you're paying 10% fees, okay, but that's 10% times 663 funds. Let's put the funds together and get an economy of scale that will reduce that fee down, and you don't have that burdensome overhead that's eating away the money that could actually go to pay the pensions.
Yeah, sometimes I'd at least like some of the fees from these pension funds to at least come from companies in the state of Illinois.
Well, and that's the other thing. A lot of this is getting shipped out of town, out of state, and we think those dollars should be kept in the funds to be able to pay the people who want to receive the pension.
You know, there is one thing in particular that caught my attention, too. The automatic appropriation authority for local funds. And this, once again, appears at first blush to be common sense. You collected the money. You knew what it was needed for. But we find that local governments have relatively little control over some of these funds. And I found this interesting as well.
Right, like motor fuel tax and the video gaming use tax, 911 fees. These are all fees and taxes that are collected locally. So when you fill up in Marion or Harrisburg or El Dorado or Anna or, you know, West Frankfort, wherever it is, you're paying motor fuel tax for that community, and it's being collected by the state. It's supposed to be returned then to that municipality, but it can't happen unless there's a state appropriation. So there has to be a state budget in order for those dollars to come back. Well, if the dollars don't come back on time, then the city can't plan to fix the road, fill the potholes, maybe plow the snow, because they don't know if they're going to have the certainty of those dollars. And that's an issue where these should just be automatically appropriated. It's all pass-through funds. It's no state dollar. It's no dollar that's going to the state or could go to the state. It also has to come right back to the city, but it's held up sometimes if there isn't a state budget.
Time and time again, people talk. You know what's embarrassing? I don't understand workman's comp. I mean, I try. I mean, I get it. I remember the first time I saw a man, Lloyd Billman, been hurt on the work spot, lost a finger, right? And he was explaining to me how that happened, and I'm like, well, how are you going to make a living? Well, I'm going to go back to work tomorrow morning, mm-hmm. right? I mean, I get workers' comp, but I do not get why companies who have never ever had an injury are popping out $8,000, $10,000, $12,000, $20,000 in workman's comp insurance. This has been a choking point for a number of people in our recovery. This is the item that continually bubbles up and is very prominent, and still, I think, a lack of understanding.
It's a complicated issue, and of course, foremost on any employer's mind, and certainly the municipalities and elected officials, is they want their employees to be safe. They don't want them to get hurt. They want an injury-free workplace. But sometimes some things happen. That's called an accident. And in that case, then the employee, the worker, needs to be compensated and needs to be able to, you know, do something and have some income. And so it's not that we're concerned about. It's the abuse. It's the irregularity. It's the inconsistencies. And some of the things we're talking about is just use the American Medical Association guidelines when determining some of these ratings or, you know, help prevent the abuse of a system where a shoulder injury can't be claimed, you know, half a dozen times for the same thing. You know, these are changes that happened a few years ago, and there's just some abuses to the system that need to be corrected and still protect the worker, which is the number one goal of any employer, but not have the abuse that's paid for by the taxpayer.
Now, home rule is another thing that's given a number of communities in Southern Illinois the flexibility that they had always wanted. And the thing is, it's limited. One of your ideas in moving cities forward in the Illinois Municipal League, we're speaking with Executive Director Brad Cole this morning, is to make some change and make more communities eligible for home rule.
Yeah, right now you're automatically home rule if the population is over 25,000. So in Southern Illinois, that's Carbondale, or if they pass it by referendum. And several communities have done so by referendum. Our suggestion is to lower that to 5,000 population, and that allows for, you know, more local decisions to be made. You know, you can have enhanced services that provide for the health, safety, and welfare of the residents, less dependency on the state. You know, there's more options that a community can make, actually, so they don't have to rely so much on property taxes, and they can enter into more intergovernmental agreements and do more things for people. And this is a way to say, look, let us run our own shop. We're doing a good job of it right now, and let's allow some more flexibility for communities that are in the small to mid-size range, and that particularly would help Southern Illinois.
Not once in this list of moving cities forward priorities do I see increasing taxes.
No. The goal here is to actually create savings so that we can do more with what we have and to stop the reliance on a number of issues. You know, we just want the dollars that are part of the local process. So local government distributed fund is the local share of state income taxes. Just want to make sure that's maintained. Just want to make sure that the dollars that are collected through motor fuel tax and other things are maintained and sent back to the cities. This is just allowing cities to do their work, kind of step away, have a little bit more local flexibility so they don't have to rely on the capital every day to get something done, and keep those decisions at City Hall, where people can have an impact. They see the mayor, they see their city council members at the post office, the grocery store. They can hear them on your radio show with WJPF, and I think that's where decisions are best made.
You know, this local control aspect when it comes to money, because it also is an item that's on your list, and that is prevailing wage, because I've heard this quite a bit. I was talking to a couple of union guys, and they were here from out of the St. Louis market, and they were union guys working on a hotel project here, and they were talking about how much they made and the prevailing wage that was the standard that which they were paid here in Southern Illinois was that of the St. Louis market.
Mm-hmm.
Not what, and there is a dramatic difference between St. Louis and Southern Illinois in pay.
Sure, and our issue is that, you know, there are a number of studies that have been done in other states, you know, demonstrate the prevailing wage does add significant cost to projects and construction projects in particular. And if a community wants to pay prevailing wage, that's great. It should be their choice, perhaps up to a certain dollar amount, so that maybe, say, up to $200,000 on a project, if the community decides that they don't, you know, it's not a project that should pay prevailing wage. Maybe it's a landscaping project. Maybe it's putting in or taking out some trees in the right-of-way, you know, that where they can get more work done because they have fewer dollars. They should have that flexibility. This is not talking about right to work or anything like that. This is just allowing some flexibility for communities to spend their dollars more wisely, particularly on the small projects. So whether it's a small city or a big city, they can spend that dollar further, they can get more out of it, which helps the taxpayer.
It's interesting. I was in Golconda, and this has been some time back, and I'm watching watching them work on a drainage project. They got the backhoe there, the work crew are prisoners. They got on the backhoe. You know, he's union. He's operating engineer.
Right.
And I kept thinking, you know, I wonder if the prevailing wage was lower, would we see three men from Pope County or women working with shovels there and with somebody knows that's a heavy machine operator,
right,
to the point where we can't do it unless we use prisoners? Is there a way that we could, you know, save money and ensure that money goes back into the population? I mean, because that when you were talking about that prevailing wage, I saw those men working down there in those orange suits, and I'm thinking, shouldn't those be members of the community?
Right, and this is a way to get more dollars actually out into the community because you can spread it around more to more workers and get more work done. If you have to pay a higher cost for something that is not a market price, then you can't do as much of it. And this goal is just to allow a little more flexibility. It's not for high-dollar ticket items. It's not for, you know, these multimillion-dollar projects. And it's for things that maybe would help a small community or even a mid-sized community just stretch that dollar a little bit further.
Illinois Municipal League is not just Republican mayors. You know, it's not just Democrat mayors. We're talking about a group that is on both sides of the aisle here, Brett.
Well, we're on all sides of it. I mean, we're on the front, the back, left, right, the center. You know, the Illinois Municipal League represents 1,298 municipalities. That's every single city, village, or town in Illinois. That's from 12 people population to 2.5 million. Cairo to Chicago, Quincy to Danville. And these are issues that are common sense for the elected officials, for mayors, city council members, village board members. And we're just trying to get this in front of the General Assembly and the administration and let them know that we're trying to get stuff done. City Hall is open. Our budgets are balanced, the work is getting done, and we're responding to our residents, and we just want the support and the assistance where needed from the state.
Brad, how many times when you're working with these communities does the subject that if we had more employment, if we did better, knowing that now with this new figure out that we're about 50,000, we've lost 50,000 jobs and they don't appear to be coming back, when you're in these meetings that people said if we had more employment, it would cure a host of financial ills? While at the same time we say, gosh, we've got to have business, we've got to draw people in. Other states are doing it, and successfully. We have to do it too, but we are, of course, chasing people out of the state. How does the idea that we must, for our own survival, grow business in Illinois coexist with a group that wants to increase corporate sales tax to 9.25?
Well, and you answer that question, you'll get elected governor.
Oh, will I? Good.
and that's the issue, and that's what we're trying to figure out here is, you know, how do we balance the needs of local communities and growing the economy and supporting their residents? How do we attract people? How do we stop the brain drain? How do we, you know, keep people coming to Illinois colleges and universities, which is obviously important in the region there? You know, how do we attract business? You know, an old friend of mine in Carbondale told me a long time ago, business goes where it's wanted and it stays where it's appreciated. And I think that's what we have to keep in mind right now. And we're not necessarily wanting business and we're not necessarily appreciating the business we have. And when those businesses go away, the workers, the employees, and the dollars that are spent go away also. And that's what is got us in a real struggling situation right now.
Brad, did you get an indoctrination to that very subject when you became mayor in Carbondale? Because when you were running for office, we talked about that.
Oh,
that
yeah.
Carbondale had a reputation for, you want to come in, we'll see.
Yeah, and that's when I heard that line. When I announced I was running for mayor of Carbondale, which was in November 12th of 2002, I had the next morning somebody called and said, I want to meet with you, and they told me this. That line, business goes where it's wanted and it stays where it's appreciated. And I have never forgotten that. And that was an issue we dealt with locally, and we've tried to correct it, and I think we were successful while I was there. And a lot of other communities have done the same thing. But the state needs to do that, and we have to, you know, we have to knock down some of these walls, and we got to get along, and we got to work towards the best interests of this great state of Illinois.
Illinois Municipal League Executive Director Brad Cole, former mayor of Carbondale, as we alluded to just a couple of moments ago. Brad, I always appreciate your time. The question is, you just talked about we're on all sides. We're in the front and the back, Democrat, Republican. We're all over the place, right? We've got them. We got going
right
on. What now with that kind of base? And quite frankly, an influential base, I can't think of somebody who'd be more influential, really, when you think about it, and the ability to draw votes, the control, the support. What will it take for your plan to gain traction in Springfield?
Well, we have a lot of support, and we do have support on both sides of the aisle, and legislative leaders and administration support various pieces of this. What it will take is the same that it will take for a lot of these other issues to get resolved. It's just going to take people to come together, the state of elected officials to come together, to be willing to compromise, stand by their principles and protect, you know, the issues that are important to them, but also be willing to be flexible on issues that are important to other folks. This agenda, the Moving Cities Forward agenda by the Illinois Municipal League, is something that serves all citizens of Illinois. It would be in the best interest of every community in the state and therefore the state itself. And if people can, you know, can come together, talk about these issues and be willing to work on them, you know, roll up the sleeves a bit, I think we can get some of the stuff done.
Brad Cole, Executive Director, Illinois Municipal League. Brad, as always, really appreciate your time, man.
Always a pleasure, Tom. Thanks for what you're doing.